The Dave and Mahoney Morning Show.
Listen live on the Odyssey app.
Well, good morning and welcome to the Dave Mahoney Morning Show. How are you feeling today, Mahoney?
Pretty good, Dave. How are you?
Hey, it's just one of these weird weeks, you know? It's a shortened week, and I can't figure out what day it is, and I don't feel like there's enough time in the day, but, you know, here we are cruising towards the weekend already.
I'm jealous of these countries that are out there with the permanent four-day work week, three-day weekend.
Did you see that the United Kingdom is trying that out now?
Yeah, I'm jealous.
Yeah, Who do we talk to? Like, you want to be the most popular politician of all time? Start pushing and offering incentives to companies to do a four-day work week.
Can we do like a tea party 2.0? Like, and do that, like, push a bunch of tea off a harbor for that purpose. Not for taxes.
But we'll call it a three-party?
Yeah.
For a three-day weekend?
Yes! Yeah. Dave?
Yeah.
Well, that was good.
Hire some guy named Trey to be in charge of things.
Why Trey?
Three.
Oh.
Trey, yeah.
Good. Another good one.
I thought that was going to be some sort of weird threesome reference. So I was like,
there was that one time in college. So let's get things going. Some good news and some bad news to kick things off today. What would you like first?
Dave, why don't we start off today's show with some bad news?
As somebody who has, I'm sure, enjoyed many an all-you-can-eat buffet, sometimes, and you know this well, Mahoney, you can take it a little too far.
No such thing.
It's
called All You Can Eat. If you've got that banner hanging with two nylon strings from the front of your business, it better be All I Can Eat.
Why does it always say All You Can Eat, and then there's also another banner that is slightly worse as far as the hanging job that says Now Open?
Yeah.
Even though it's been open for 6 years.
Grand reopening.
Under
new management.
Yeah, now open. Danielle Shapiro, 24 years old, wanted to get her money's worth at a $50 all-you-can-eat sushi buffet at Sushi 85 restaurant in Mountain View, California last month.
Gross.
Binged.
I'm sorry, gross.
32 rolls. Sushi? What's wrong with that?
I just feel like whenever you're mass producing sushi in that amount, like your quality is,
I don't
is
know, my
bottom tier.
I've been to plenty of all-you-can-eat sushi places, and it's fine.
I eat like
two rolls and I'm full.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's the worst deal of all time.
You're full, but then 30 minutes later you're hungry again.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So but buffet is different than all you can eat sushi. Because this is a buffet where it's
That's true. Like the all-you-can-eat sushi where you get to hand-choose the rolls that you want.
And then they bring it to you.
And then they bring it to you like it's a normal order.
That's different.
This is the buffet. $50 all-you-can-eat buffet.
You guys are, you sushi. And your highfalutin standards.
Yes.
Get out of here. I'm here for any sort of...
I don't really like room temperature sushi, if we're being real.
It's not for me, man.
Yeah. No, come on. You know how long it takes forever? You can just walk up and get what you want when you want. It just sounds like a great place.
Well, she had 32 rolls and then had to be rushed to the emergency room.
32 rolls.
Yeah.
That's a lot of rolls.
32. Acid reflux got her. Put her in the hospital.
But does that mean, whenever I hear rolls, Mahoney, don't you? The rolls mean, they constitute as eight pieces.
Eight slices, yeah. About an inch each.
So what's 8 times 32?
Ah, come on, man.
Okay, 256.
Yeah. 256 slices.
That's a lot.
I mean,
I have made the mistake of being at a Fazoli's in the past. And when the guy with the breadsticks came around, he said, "How many would you like?" I said, "Leave the whole basket," in a jokingly manner.
And he left the whole basket and you couldn't help yourself?
And I ate the whole thing because they were hot and fresh.
Covered
in that butter.
Oh, that nasty butter.
And those breadsticks expanded so quick inside of my stomach.
Ew, yeasty. Yeasty expansion.
My honey just like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
No, I looked like Violet from Willy Wonka.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
So, mentioned it a moment ago, but a four-day work week trial is being launched in the United Kingdom. Around 30 pretty large companies in the UK are taking part in what they call a six-month trial of a four-day work week. But we've seen this time and time again where, especially with kind of the climate that everything is in right now, still after a couple of years, right, with all of the COVID stuff, you know, people being able to work remotely as long as they're getting their stuff done is fine, right? And in the case of it being like a four-day work week but then a three-day holiday, it's also proven to be very good for the economy because people have an extra day every single weekend to go out and spend more money. Now, I don't really know the answer if that's going to work long term. you know, it, right now, 3-day weekends are special to us. And so we tend to like plan things around 3-day weekends, trips out of town, stuff like that. Because you don't normally get a 3-day weekend.
You spend more money on a 3-day weekend versus a 2-day weekend.
Right, but I'm curious. It, my point is that if we do that now because our 3-day weekends are special, and so we plan more stuff.
It's just too hard to go anywhere for, like, if you, even if you leave on a Friday and you come back on a Sunday, that's a lot of traveling. So you have one full day.
Right, but I'm saying if every weekend is a 3-day weekend, do we still act the same every weekend
well,
that we would on
weekend,
a normal 3-day weekend?
Not every weekend, but more often than not, I would say yes.
Not only that, I feel like this also is just a huge sign saying your whole life does not revolve around work. We're going to try and split it up as much 50-50 as we possibly can in order to ensure a work-life balance that most people want.
Well, and a lot of companies
give you better productivity,
are doing that anyhow, right? Because you got to think that back in the day, and still with some jobs, like when you're at work, but then when you're not, you're just gone,
yep.
Right?
There's no way to get a hold of you.
But that's not the case anymore. You're constantly connected. And so are you able to get the amount of work done that you need to by not physically being somewhere for 8 hours? Like, well, I'm on vacation. Mahoney, like, if you go on a cruise, you just turn your phone off.
I turn my phone off.
Or you don't have service.
I don't pay for the, ridiculous priced
Wi-Fi.
Internet.
Like, right. Like $50
on a cruise.
And I get that.
No. It's way more expensive than
that. $50 a day?
It's like $100 for like 100 megabytes.
Oh,
it's
ridiculous.
Megabytes.
So you might get it.
Yeah. It's not like 100 gigs, you know?
Yeah.
But point is, like, I like to be connected. I'm the other way where, like, when I go on, if I go on a cruise or something like that, I want to be connected. I want to be able to buy that. So me being connected to what I need to get done and doing not having to be in the office for it, I love the idea. We'll see if there's, you know, their 6-month trial works out for them. But I mean, there's already a bunch of countries around the world that are doing this.
We are not seeing this in America.
New Zealand.
There is some in the United States, just not that many yet.
So
right?
It's just going to be by private owners, not like by law of the land.
Yeah, and a lot of those trials in the United States are happening this upcoming year. But Ireland, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, Scottish and Spanish governments also launching pilots this month. So as this becomes more and more normalized, I'll be real curious to see how it works.
What do all those countries have in common? They're all awesome.
Yeah.
Like legit. Yeah. And also, so, you know, Dave, you point out like the 3-day weekend being slightly less special. I think one of the main things that you're also missing here is that if we do have an every weekend is a 3-day weekend, when we do have the holidays, that will now be a 4-day weekend.
Oh
yeah. That'd be nice. That'd be real nice.
Also, again, and sometimes that work-life balance has to happen.
You know, in like Germany, I think it's minimum 30 days for everyone. That's the base minimum for how many days off a year you get.
Dude, in some places, paternity leave is like 4 or 5 months or something.
Or
ridiculous.
A year.
Yeah, up to
depending
a year.
Depending on where it is.
I think that maternity leave is about a year, you're right, or two.
No, there's in Japan, it's 2 years, but Japan's got its own set of issues.
So this is really interesting. Convicted sex trafficker Ghislaine Maxwell is no longer protecting the names of 8 men involved in Jeffrey Epstein's operation.
She's going to get murdered.
I mean, probably, but what?
I mean, we said this
release
about Epstein.
The names and then get killed.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Piece of garbage. She's horrible, but I'm saying, like, that is that's probably in the cards, we knew it was for Epstein.
This is the reason why they're doing this, too. Like, why would we say, in any realm, this feels like movie-esque, why would you say she's going to release the names?
And not just release them?
And not just, like, what do you mean? She's in a cell. Just get the names from her. Like, why does it have to be this whole press release that she's
putting it out there,
to
but
be giving the names?
There was a lawsuit in 2015 brought against her by the accuser that's involved with the whole Prince Andrew thing, that girl Virginia. And they wanted to release the names. It got held up because rich and powerful people have an obscene amount of influence for whatever disgusting reason. Final decision on releasing the names is up to a federal judge by the name of Loretta Preska. And the letter was written the same day another federal judge basically said the case against Prince Andrew can move forward. So it's real interesting to see that these names are very likely going to come out. But it's also very interesting, like you said, Audrey, that they're flying a flare like, hey, these names are about to come out, It seems real sus.
And it's kind of the most interesting part about it, too. Not only is it international, but we at least know for almost without certainty that it's Prince Andrew is heavily involved in
He got stripped of all of his military titles. Yeah. All these guys. I don't care who you were, what you were, what your political affiliation may be. If you're involved, rot.
But his name being the one that's like he's taking – like whatever, what is that analogy? When you're taking the fall, like you're taking
fall guy.
Scapegoat. I'm sitting here like fake stabbing myself. I thought it had something to do with falling on your sword, I guess. But
that's a good one too. Yeah. But
no, more falling like on your sword is like I'm a samurai and I'm taking my own life because I don't want the enemy to
Harry
kill me.
Harry Carey, I believe that's what it's called.
Doing the old Harry Carey.
I remember it's named after. It's not the same Harry Carey who used the famous Chicago Cubs.
Cubs win. Cubs win. That's not
those
that
glasses.
Guy.
You fall
Cubs
on a bat.
Yeah. Maybe they're having some kind of transmitting trouble. Why don't we phone the station?
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail. 833-YO-DUMMY. Again, 833-YO-DUMMY.
Please leave a message after the tone.
It's tax season. Who else is pumped? I think I might buy myself one of those hoverboards and see how long it takes until I get a concussion.
Message deleted.
Oh, so you're one of those guys that's like, it's tax season. I'm going shopping.
Tax season, ball. But who got their W-2s and 1099s already?
Not yet, right? They're not even due till the end of the month.
I feel like there's some of the places I've done like extra work for that take their 1099s come in like March.
Well, I mean, technically, they have to have them post-dated
by the end of the month,
but still.
Still, like, there's so many people who don't do that. Are you, do you rush, because you always end up paying a bunch of taxes, so you wait until April 14th.
Yeah, we slow it down a little bit.
Are we still doing that, like, delayed tax thing? Because I think that was the last 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, you can file for an extension and stuff, you too, know, so yeah. There's.
I've got a refund the last 2 years. I haven't seen it. Neither.
Really?
My last two refunds have not come in.
You know what's crazy is that Andrew hasn't either. And whenever we're talking about taxes, my brain, I saw something online recently that kind of, I don't want to be like taxation is theft, but whenever you think about it. So if your boss gets paid $100 and they get taxed on that $100 and then I have to pay taxes on that $100 that I was given and so on and so forth, where is all this money going? Because my back roads, not talking about my actual back roads, but my back roads by my house are legitimately like rubble. Where is all this tax money going? Because it's not going to my area.
Guns. Bombs.
I do own a gun, so okay.
No, no, not for, no, not, not for guns you. For you. No, no, no.
Oh,
guns.
For no. The military. Yeah. Oh, man. Well, I got family in the military, so I can't really knock.
No, I'm not. I'm not going to military.
That's where that money goes.
Yeah, it's like when you start to look at like the cost of like how much military stuff actually runs, you're like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's
billions.
Unbelievable.
Well, yeah. It's the contractors who are, you know, spending a crazy amount of money for a single nut or a toilet seat. That remember that story? Like 20 years ago, they were like, we're paying $5,000 for a toilet seat.
Yeah, I mean, I can't really knock that. I've paid a lot of money for a single nut.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Oh, my God. This When We Were Young tour is freaking having me put on my skinny jeans again and dyeing my hair black and letting it grow wild. My inner teen is freaking dying right now. It's
going to
be sick.
Message deleted.
Yeah, it's going to be sick, except for they were talking about how tickets start at $20. Tickets do not start at $20.
Yeah,
that is such a bait and switch.
That's a buy-in fee.
Yeah, it's like it's $20 as a down payment on your $225 ticket.
For GA.
Well, that's basic. Also, I don't know because like, I haven't. I'm not going to pay for this because there's zero chance I'm going to any festival.
I think I am.
You could go. Yeah. Good for you. But for me, unless I was like in a... like a luxury air-conditioned box and with, you know...
I'm sure they have those available for $3,000 to $6,000.
But that's not the kind of festival I want to do that in. Because, yes, Mahoney, I am such a brat. I want to be there with you just like in AC. But I feel like this... You don't go to something like this and be a brat.
Yes, you do.
Mahoney's a brat at literally
everything. So, again,
everything.
You're recently 30. The hangovers are hitting you real hard right now. Wait until you spend 12 hours on your feet with a bunch of sweaty people touching you. Like that, there's a moment in your life where you just go, never again.
Yeah.
Never again
for
this.
Me.
I was actually talking with somebody yesterday and I was like, that's how I feel right now. Cause they were like, let's get the VIP, which is about $500 for VIP tickets. And I was like, it's just.
And that's before the fees. That's what I'm curious, because you can't like check out through the When We Were Young festival.
Not yet. Right now, tickets to go on sale for Friday.
Yeah, they go on sale. And one of the things that you like, they always add, like, I feel like the taxes, fees, and whatever else is always like an extra. Like 30% or 40% or 50%.
Do you know that meme of the "Okay, Grandma, let's get you to bed"?
Yeah.
The most appropriate one that I saw about this festival was the grandma saying, "Yeah, we used to have this festival too, and it was only $40. It was called the Warp Tour.
$20 Warp Tour was."
And I was like, "All right, Grandma, let's get you to bed." But I mean, really, I mean, like this—it's an incredible lineup. But I mean, don't say that tickets are $20, starting at $20, and then let them actually start at $225. Like I just don't like what feels like dishonesty.
The buy-in fees.
Also, just wait until Jimmy Eat World or Taking Back Sunday. Just do a solo show.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a good lineup.
And go see them.
Just don't lie about it. You guys are such haters.
Everybody is so excited about this.
One of the last concerts Dave and I went to together was Jimmy Eat World.
I know, but there's so many other great artists on that list.
Yeah, but
like Paramore being back together is massive.
Still not as good as Jimmy Eat World.
Are they all going to play like 11-minute sets? Like, how are they even going to fit all these bands in?
Well, I feel like for the most part, to Mahoney's point, that I think you said this yesterday, a lot of the ones that are on like the little bitty baby lines, like they're not going to be playing their deep cuts.
No,
like,
I know, but
people are massive fans of The Used, sure. But
this
like
is
the
a single
Used,
night.
The Used isn't going to be playing. Yeah, they're not going to be. They'll play like a song or two.
That's funny you say The Used, because I actually feel like The Used, out of most of those bands, has like 7 or 8 songs that I would like to hear.
Sure, but you're not going to hear 7 or 8.
That's what I mean.
That's why I'm not going to pay $225. Well, I'm going to spend $30 next time Jimmy Eat World rolls through town.
You're paying for My Chem and Paramore. That's what you're paying for.
It could also be free and Mahoney wouldn't want to go.
No, absolutely not.
It would be free for somebody of my caliber, Dave. I'm very famous.
No, it wouldn't.
Whoa, very famous.
You can't get free tickets.
Very, very famous.
I will bet you $225 you can't get a free ticket.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Define free.
Shockingly, Artie Lang is the last man standing from Dirty Work, outliving co-star Norm MacDonald and director Bob Saget. Life is strange sometimes.
Message deleted.
I think you can make an argument that life is unfair.
Yes.
Like, Artie Lang has been doing everything in his power to kill himself for a long, long time, and somehow
I feel like
still
he's on
here.
A better path now.
Well, yeah,
but
I mean, it was like
he's done.
When you have like 20 years of just absolutely abusing yourself.
Is he the one who lost his nose?
Yeah. When you
well,
get your,
didn't your, lose his nose. He just had his nose blew up.
His nose is pretty much lost.
It's gone.
Yeah, I mean, it's a mess. But
I mean, pictures that I saw, he has no nose.
Don't get me wrong. Artie Lang is hilarious. I think that he's obviously, you know, one of those comedians who, you know, thrives on putting himself in bad situations, you know.
Yeah.
Shock
tragedy
guy.
Equals comedy
well,
sort of thing.
And one, I mean, the thing about Artie, too, I don't think either you watched the series Crashing with Pete Holmes. And
did not.
No.
One of the main storylines, Artie plays himself. And, you know, talks about his addiction and talks about being a junkie. And, like, I think there's, you know, it's very, 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 very real. Artie is a very talented actor as well and just hilarious. It's just so guys like that who have so much talent sometimes just can't get out of their way.
Yeah, and a decent amount of, you know, fame and money and all of those things. I mean, even though he squandered a lot of it still, you know, it's like you have a hard time telling somebody that's the most famous and probably richest person in the room how they should be acting.
Well, dude, addiction's a disease.
Yeah.
I mean, the disease is also getting in his way, you know? I mean, that's probably the most sad part to me. Like, you can have all that dark turmoil in your body. Like, Robin Williams, you know, have all that mental health addiction. Pair that with a disease of addiction, and that's catastrophic.
Yeah, I really hope that he continues on the right path, man, because, you know, lost a lot of really talented people already.
And if you've never watched Dirty Work, go back and revisit it. Don Rickles is in it as well.
Where do you think you can view Dirty Work?
On Apple, just like or Amazon, any of those.
Oh, you gotta buy
services.
It.
I thought you meant like go to like Blockbuster and like actually get like one of those VHS tapes from back in the day
that you're gonna have to rush to return it by 7 p.m.
You're furious that somebody didn't rewind it.
Yeah,
it's an extra 20 minutes out of
box,
my watching.
The kids that work at a Blockbuster haven't fixed the box, and there's just videotapes piling out of the mobile drop off.
You're asking them to sift through the return to find it for you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember these days.
We're old.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
So Bruce Arians, who is the head coach for the Tampa Bay Bucks, being fined $50,000. Did you see the video of him hitting his safety during the game?
No, I didn't see that.
So he got mad at one of the safeties, Andrew Adams, on the game on Sunday for whatever reason against the Philadelphia Eagles. And he like came up behind him and like popped him on the helmet, okay. Which, I mean, look, it's a hand on a helmet. You're not actually going to hurt the guy that way. But still, like when you watch Bruce Arians do it, like he kind of like goes to hit him, sort of makes contact, and then kind of falls into the guy and is screaming at him. And the player just like pushes him away. I'm like, what kind of dynamic is it where like you're just like open-handed slapping players if they do something you don't like in the middle of
the
game?
I'm watching the video of it right now.
It's on Adam Schefter's Twitter.
And what are you doing? I mean, unless the guy was like trying to fight, or you know, you're trying to prevent a penalty, like something serious, like where you're
even
somebody. Well, I think if somebody's like, you know, you're in a playoff game. Not that it mattered in that game because Tampa was destroying Philadelphia at that point.
The reason why he did it is he said, quote, "I've seen enough dumb. You can't pull guys out of a pile. We just got a big play, great field position. He's trying to pull a guy out of the pile, and I'm trying to get him to knock it off so we don't get a penalty." So he was like, you know, just trying to be like, hey, quit it, because there was a pile of people, and obviously pulling people off the pile is going to get you flagged. But at the same time, like, go over and, like, get in his ear. Don't hit him.
Or just, I don't know. Just push him.
I know. I feel like there are a lot of coaches that we've seen in the past behave this way. And I was watching a college game not too long ago. Can't remember who it was, so it's kind of a lackluster story here. But he did the same thing to a kid.
I feel like there's a difference, though, between a pro player and a kid.
I really feel like there's a big difference there. But it gave me the same kind of ick, right? Where it's just like, what are you doing? You're a grown adult behaving this way. I don't care if it's man on man, because you could probably say, well, you know, this is sports, we're used to this, but it just gives me kind of like, ugh.
A guy shaped like a bowling ball versus, you know,
a professional athlete.
Well, that's the other thing that makes me go, ick, is that, hey, man, like, you're going to get your ass kicked.
No, right. But by and large, Bruce Arians is considered to be one of the best coaches in the league, like really loved by a lot of his players. So you don't know what these guys' relationships exactly like. So, you know, I'm curious to hear the.
There's a big difference if he's doing it out of anger as opposed to like, hey, dummy, like, quit it, man. You're going to get us a penalty.
Come on.
If you're angry or if you're just like, come on.
But either way, $50,000, it's a pretty big fine. Yeah, you know, even though, you know, he's got plenty of money, still, like, 50 G's is like buying somebody a new car.
Now, so let me ask you this, because I feel like sometimes a lot of this stuff happens on the field and we just don't get to see it because the cameras aren't on them at that exact moment.
Yeah.
Do you think that this has been happening or behind and finally the camera just caught it and
of
now
course.
He has to pay up because it was caught?
Yep.
There is no more, like, I mean, the same thing with the... You know, the bounty gate. Remember the bounty gate a few years ago where Sean Payton from the Saints was suspended for, what, a whole season, I believe, because of that? And, like, if you didn't think that other teams were 100% doing something very similar, like, you take out the best player, you take out the other team's quarterback, you don't think you're going to get some reward of some sort by your team or the organization, you are, you know, you're kidding yourself.
Doesn't this sound like this headline is going to lead to really bad things? Alligator spotted swimming in wastewater at former phosphate mining plant.
Ew.
This is how Godzilla is born.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh.
Wildlife officials in Florida said a trapper is working to remove an alligator found swimming in the wastewater at the former mining facility. The Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission said that their alligator program was contacted to remove the alligator spotted swimming in the water in front of the former mining facility, and the commission said they're working with the trapper to try to get it out. The alligator is estimated to be 8 feet to 9 feet long.
And just thriving in poo.
That's a big-ass gator.
And they allocated $100 million in 2021 to permanently close and clean up this site, but obviously
they
haven't cleaned it up enough. There is a huge alligator swimming in the wastewater.
Or is this alligator got some weird-ass kink?
Yeah. It's like when it gets in my eyes, it burns.
And I like it.
I already have bad vision.
It's the movie quote quiz on the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show.
All right, Mahoney, Audrey, you guys ready for this? The movie quote quiz, pretty simple idea, at least. I mean, playing back movie quotes from very popular movies from over the years. You guys just trying to figure out what they are. The challenge here, of course, is that there's only a few seconds of each one of these, and sometimes piecing together what movie a very short clip came from, even if you've seen it many times, can be kind of challenging. You feel prepared today, Mahoney?
Dave, in my second semester at community college, I took an introduction to cinema class.
Oh.
And ever since that day, I have considered myself a cinephile.
Ah, okay.
And I will hold my title throughout this game.
Okay. Mountie, like,
you don't have
a
title.
Are you like aiming for an Oscar here? What was that dramatic, dramatic speech?
Just saying I'm going to win.
All right, so...
do I get some help today, Dave?
You want some help?
I mean, maybe. If I
okay,
need
so Mahoney, you've been around longer. You are a cinephile, as you like to call yourself. Mm-hmm. That means that Audrey is at a disadvantage, of course. Her being younger, not as many years on God's green earth to watch these movies. So you get the option to go either first or second on the first one.
Number one.
You're going to go first, and then you can tag me in on one of them if you want.
We'll see.
How is that, okay. How is that possible? You know what the answers are.
I mean,
oh, you do today,
that's
don't
right, I do
you?
Today.
Oh.
So there's no help for you. A big help.
No help for you.
All right, here we go with number one. Audrey, you're up first. Good luck.
I was thinking Mom would take me some of these potatoes home with me.
Oh, how about before that?
Let me think. Before that, I was thinking I could use me another six or eight cans of that potted meat. You got any extra?
A sling blade.
That is sling blade, yes.
Can I tell you that I for a second, my mind went to Joe Dirt for almost like for that one scene.
That's the crossover we did not know that we
there
needed.
There are some similarities,
sling
yes.
blade versus Joe Dirt. That is. Was anybody else, because that was like the first real movie I noticed Billy Bob Thornton in because he won an Oscar for it and all that stuff. But sure. Anything after that, Billy Bob Thornton was just like.
Bad Santa.
Yeah. Just like a just a like, kind of like a just a dirtbag Southern guy.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah. Drinking blood.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the whole I'm banging Angelina Jolie and we're drinking each other's blood on the red carpet
thing.
That was peak. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I feel like
that was. I definitely noticed Billy Bob Thornton that day.
For sure.
Yeah. Here we go on to number two, Mahoney. You're up first.
This is pitiful. 1,000 people freezing their butts off waiting to worship a rat. What a hype. To mean something in this town. They used to pull the hog out and they used to eat it. You're hypocrites, all of you.
One of the greatest movies of all time, directed by the late, great Harold Ramis. That is Groundhog Day.
I'm already on the board with one as well. Good job. All right, here we go. On to number three, Audrey, you're up.
Some other time.
Excuse me?
I'm not in the mood.
I wanna f-
and I don't.
Good afternoon, Catherine.
This is a shot in the dark here. Is that Cruel Intentions?
Wow. Yeah. It is.
I mean, that was literal guess.
And it's the reason you were probably able to get that is because that is the only time in human history where a dude on camera has turned down the opportunity to get laid.
Yeah. I mean, I just remember there was a dynamic there where she was very much more into him than he was. So mm-hmm.
That was Ryan. Was that Ryan Phillippe?
Yeah.
And did you know that Ryan Phillippe and Reese Witherspoon were married for many years?
Yeah, gorgeous children.
They have a daughter who looks exactly like Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah. They have two kids.
Do they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a son.
But also, he also kind of looked like her, if you think about it. Like,
they did.
They did kind of look like, you could mistake them for siblings, which is also kind of weird.
Kind of creepy.
Ew, I don't like it.
But it would be very popular on Pornhub in this day and age.
Sure would. Yeah.
Step siblings. Yeah. Through marriage.
I had it all. Even the glass dishes with tiny bubbles and imperfections. Proof that they were crafted by the honest, simple, hardworking indigenous peoples of wherever.
I was holding.
Your call is important.
We used to read pornography. Now it was the Horchow collection.
Oh, boy.
Mm.
He might be one of my favorite actors.
I can't.
That was a she.
Yeah. I think that was Ed Norton. Yeah. I am. I need to hear that again. And if not, Audrey's going to get it.
I had it all. Even the glass dishes with tiny bubbles and imperfections. Proof that they were crafted by the honest, simple, hardworking indigenous peoples of wherever.
I was holding.
Your call is important.
We used to read pornography. Now it was the Horchow collection.
5 seconds.
I mean, just take a guess.
Is that Death to Smoochie?
No.
What the? I'm just guessing too. I mean, I'm just going to guess Fight Club.
Yes.
Okay.
That's Fight Club. I just remember Brad Pitt's abs.
Everybody remembers Brad Pitt's abs.
Yeah, I remember those abs too.
Glitz, glamour, fame, scandal, weight loss tea? It's Pop Trash!
So things are not getting any better for Britney Spears and her family. She has now sent a cease and desist letter to her sister.
And her sister has said, bring it.
Yeah. Her sister obviously releasing her memoir, Things I Should Have Said. And she, you know, Britney Spears is saying the book is rather ill-timed and it is making misleading or outrageous claims about her. So, you know, Jamie Lynn Spears, who everyone is saying looks like Ted Cruz in drag, which is kind of mean.
It's real mean.
Oh, my
But God, kind of accurate.
So foul.
Kind of accurate.
I mean, Ted Cruz has a beard now.
Right. Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, Ted Cruz has a beard that's about as good as my beard, which is why I don't
I'll say
a beard.
This. Ted Cruz beard, better than Joe Buck's beard. Nothing worse. There's no worse beard in America than Joe Buck's beard.
Yeah, you might be right.
That scraggly-ass blonde beard.
It's hard to have a good blonde beard
Dude,
to begin with.
You're not fat, Joe. Like
don't need to cover it up. You got a good chin line.
Yeah.
You got
good genetics.
Yeah, you're fine.
Jack was a handsome man, your father.
But Britney Spears and Jamie Lynn Spears are fighting, and I don't imagine it's going anywhere anytime soon.
This is just going to get worse, and everybody's baggage is going to get dragged into the public. I think everybody is going to lose because of this.
So Jared Leto and Anne Hathaway are going to play that weird WeWork couple. Have you watched any of the documentaries on that?
Yes, I have not.
I
have too. It is so crazy.
So Mahoney, for perspective, if you've not seen, by the way, if you have not seen it, it is on Hulu, one of them. And
the one on Hulu is very well done.
It is very well done. And for perspective on like what these people are, if you were to take a yoga couple and implement all of their like love and light and happiness and like togetherness and put it into corporate space.
But then you also like mix in like a cult.
Yes. Oh, know? Yeah. Well, because it's all cult following. It's kind of, if you were to take Jared Leto's weird cult that he has and put it into corporate America, that's exactly what it is.
Oh, so you're saying this role is not a huge stretch.
You haven't seen this story yet, have you?
No.
Jared Leto is playing the part of Adam Newman. Yeah.
God, nail on the head.
So WeWork, the couple is Adam Newman and his wife, Rebecca Newman, and they created this like cult, and Jared Leto is playing Adam, and then Anne Hathaway is going to be playing Rebecca, and that's actually a very good typecasting as well, although Anne Hathaway is way prettier.
Way prettier.
Oh, but, I love Anne Hathaway.
But she's actually the cousin, the actual real-life wife, is the cousin of Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yes. Ugh.
So, again, perspective of, like, who she is, and, like, she's kind of like the puppeteer, too, behind a lot of the main
guy's
stuff.
This may be a pyramid scheme, but still not nearly as bad as Goop.
So we crashed is what they're going to be calling this show. It's going to premiere March 18th on Apple TV Plus.
But they
are big actors.
To me, WeWork was one of those first like adopters of the same thing that NFTs are. It's like, we promise that you're worth billions of dollars, but where's the money? Like, you're worth your
all
your,
you are is
it's fake money.
You're just Regis with a different name. It's just rented office space, but they created this culture of like every single startup would always have their offices at WeWork, and it was the first like co-collaborative space, you know,
live
where there's
here,
no offices.
Garbage.
And then it turned into the live here, work here, where like people were actually living, and they would have like these retreats where they would all go to camp together as adults, and it started out like fun, where everyone's like having a good time, and it's just like one big sort of drunken
like
orgy.
Weird sex stuff.
And then it started like becoming forced, and they would... They
what
got
was like young,
really into themselves.
It was like a predatory towards young professionals who are wanting that like collaboration type of
that
fun atmosphere. Right?
Yeah.
No, it doesn't.
Let's be real.
Because then it turns into, well, we want you to live here, like Dave said, and we also want you to go mandatory, have to go to these retreats. And it's like you never have your own life.
I'll tell you what I'm never going to do anytime in my life, going on any sort of retreat.
Yeah, retreat's not for me.
Nah.
Retreat makes me feel like
what
I did something
running?
Wrong.
What am I running from? For real.
What did I do?
Yo!
Fast food freakouts.
If I wasn't in this car, man, I'd come in there and kick your ass.
Ma'am, we're going to have to ask you to leave.
So, Audrey, out to a good start today already in these games.
Victory.
Mahoney, can you pull it together on this one? I mean, this is your specialty. These are fast food freakouts. You're the fast food connoisseur of the Dave Mahoney Morning Show.
If I were to have a separate job when I get fired from here, I would run an underground fast food fight club.
Oh, I like that.
You don't talk about it.
What restaurant would it be beneath?
Got to be Popeyes.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I'm not that rugged.
No, you could call them reinforcements.
I ain't cut out for that life.
What about like a
Dairy Queen.
A hot chicken place.
A Dairy Queen.
Dairy Queen.
Yeah.
You don't know what those tenders are made out
of. Yeah, I don't want to fight after having dairy.
Their tenders are good. Don't you slam on those tenders.
I'm not. I'm saying you don't know what they're made out of. Also, did you know what tender is short for, Audrey?
Tenderloin.
Correct.
It's a chicken tenderloin?
That's right.
I don't like that. Have you ever bought chicken tenderloins? They're little. They look exactly like strips.
Yeah. How do they get that bread in so thick, though? That's what I want to know.
They just pack it home.
All right, so I'm going to play each one of these freakouts after I give you the setup. I'll give you a multiple choice of what it could be. There's a total of three. Whoever gets more correct is going to be our winner. First up, it is a dude named Chad complaining that his chicken was raw.
What are you going to do about this? Because holy shit, hanging up and not answering the phone afterwards is not what you're supposed to do.
I'm
stuck in the drive-thru. I might have just contracted salmonella. I'm a army contractor. Am I supposed to walk into that base? No, I do not want another sandwich. First off, I need my mother money back. Second off, just like I said on the phone, I need the contact info for your franchise owner because I promise you, you don't want my attorney involved in the
attorney involved.
Oh my god, this is
a lawsuit over some chicken. Like, shut up.
Also,
Chad,
you're stolen valor garbage. You're not in the army, you're a contractor for the army. There's a difference.
Yeah, so god, is that a KFC, B an Arby's, or C a McDonald's?
Audrey.
Mahoney.
Gotta be a KFC, right?
No, it's not.
Mickey D's.
No.
An Arby's?
It's an Arby's.
Who goes to Arby's and gets chicken?
That's on you, Chad. On you, you idiot.
Who the heck goes to Arby's? I didn't even know they had that on the menu. Did you? Did you know they had chicken on the menu?
Audrey, to be fair, in their tagline, we have the meats and chicken tenders.
That's not the meats I'm looking for.
Chicken tenderloins are the meats.
They these do fall under that meat umbrella.
These are not the meats.
Also, meat umbrella.
These are not the meats you're looking for.
No, exactly. You got it.
You're like, should have told that to you and all of your college girlfriends. All right, here we go on to number two. This man is upset over the wrong order. Let's have a listen.
You useless f***ing I'll f***ing tell you. I've had enough of this. I've complained to the f***ing head office. I don't know how many f***ing times about this store. It's f***ing bullshit. I've just given f***ing 2 kilometers because you f***ing got a f***ing burger. It happens constantly from this store.
That's one man, Matt Australian.
Yeah, that is an Australian man. But was he at a Burger King, a White Castle, or a KFC?
Audrey.
Mahoney.
Audrey.
He was mad at the Burger King.
He was not.
Oh.
I was going to say Kangaroo Jack's, which is the Australian version of Burger King. I almost shot my shot on that one.
Oh,
almost did. But so, we were on the same wavelength right there.
What are the other two options, Dave?
White Castle and KFC.
It's got to be a KFC. I'm doubling down, going KFC two times.
They've got burgers at KFC?
Yes.
They do?
Yeah, KFC.
What kind of trickery is this, Ian?
They have burgers down under at KFC, so there you go. Because they don't have burgers at KFC in the States, right?
I don't think so.
Right, so that was a really roundabout way that you got that.
Speaking about stolen valor, can we talk about the Colonel Sanders? Not really a...
Not a real colonel?
He's not a military colonel. He's what they call a Kentucky colonel. He served no time in the military.
Stolen-ass
chicken valor.
A Kentucky
colonel?
What is
a Kentucky colonel?
It's like the highest... rank or highest prestige you can be bestowed upon a Kentuckian by the governor.
The governor has to bestow.
So like old freaking Andy Beshear over here just being like, oh right,
you're
whoever.
A colonel now.
Yeah, you're a colonel.
I'll be your colonel.
What does that mean? Yeah,
you handsome.
Old daddy. Old daddy Beshear.
Give me a gravy.
All right, third and final one. This got weird. A woman upset over the store hours. You're trying to figure out where this went down.
You need to chill out.
You know what?
You need to chill out. Everyone here thinks you need a chill.
I really don't give a shit.
Go to another restaurant.
I don't want to. If he was trying his best to run a business, he would have went out there when I came in the first time. Miss Snobby Ass.
That gave her clothing.
Inside! He said the drive-thru was open!
Did she call her Miss Smelly Ass?
Miss No Ass.
This is literally how girls talk to each other whenever it's like you're having a conversation with the one friend who's just been acting out. It's like, we all think that you need to chill out.
Weird that telling her to calm down didn't work. It normally does.
The Burger King in Australia, it's not Kangaroo Jack's, it's Hungry Jack's.
Hungry Jack's.
Just gotta fix that.
All right, here we go. Is it McDonald's, Dairy Queen, or Jack in the Box? Audrey.
Lord, is it McDonald's, for the love of God?
It is not.
No. This is a Dairy Queen. This is the most generic.
Where your Fight Club belongs. You are right,
that
Mahoney.
Right.
Mahoney would know.
That argument is only taking place in a Dairy Queen.
Miss No Ass.
Dave and Mahoney, every weekday morning from 6 to 10.
So do you guys believe that places are haunted? Like if something bad happened there, if there was a murder on site, like would you buy a house if it was a good deal, if somebody had been killed in it?
Not a good deal, a great deal.
A great deal. Okay, so let's say it's a house that traditionally goes for $750,000. How much discounted would it have to be for you to go?
I look at we got mutual friends who bought like a manor in Ohio. A beautiful, like...
It's like an old historic place.
But looked like it was built in like the 1800s.
Are
but
you
going like
to say the same thing?
Mansion.
I'm thinking like somebody's definitely been killed there.
1,000%. For somebody's been murdered there. And
with the candlestick in the library.
I would 100% buy that house.
Yeah, okay.
For a good deal.
What if you didn't like suspect like there was a murder? Like you knew for sure that a
murder, not just death.
50% off.
Murder, 50% off. Okay.
I mean, the way the real estate market is right now? Yeah.
Okay, murder is different.
Like, who was it, too? I mean, that does play a factor.
Okay, well, the story that I'm about to share with you is a very... we know who was killed there.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, can we put some creepy music on?
So
this feels like a ghost story. Okay, so this person was actually literally murdered. Like, straight up killed.
Yeah, so the reason why I bring it up is because the guy who is the creator of Full House, right?
Yeah.
Jeff Franklin.
Oh, my gosh.
He has a home in Los Angeles that he is selling, and it's an enormous estate. I mean, it's a 21,000-square-foot house, nine bedrooms, 19 baths, sits on 3 acres, got this incredible view of downtown LA.
I mean, it's almost a historic – I mean, it kind of is a historic site in Hollywood.
It definitely is. So, I mean, it's got a movie theater, it's got a spa, it's got a gym, hair salon, billiards room, bar, 75-foot pool, 3 waterfalls, a couple of jacuzzis, a 35-foot water slide, a bar.
Dead in that jacuzzi.
No. This is the house – well, I should take that back. It's not the house. It's the property. So they leveled the house that was there, and they built this new mansion.
Doesn't matter.
He's selling it for $85 million, but it's on the exact same property where the Manson family slaughtered all of those people back in 1969.
Yeah, Sharon Tate, right?
Sharon Tate, Abigail Folger,
horrible.
Steve Parent. I mean, the whole lot of them.
I mean, they I feel like when you...
5 people were killed.
I feel like when you roll over that house, like when you demolish the house, like the land doesn't stay haunted unless it's a burial ground.
No, that's not how it works.
Are you sure? If it's like a pet cemetery style thing or like some sort of burial ground, no. But like, I saw this house, too old school for me. Even though it has all these amazing amenities, it's very...
The price is a little bit much for me. It's $85 million. But I'm saying, if you're going to spend $85 million on a house, don't buy it the property where a bunch of people were butchered.
No, man. Some wacko was like, that's increasing the property value. Manson murders were there, some literal Looney Tune.
Who that Looney Tune is? The creator of Full House, Jeff Franklin.
Which is bizarre.
Well, he's selling
it.
Well,
he's selling it now, but he bought it knowing what it was.
Yeah, but I mean, it's good real estate.
That's not what I'm thinking.
Hey, when
at
you
all.
Live in the hills in Hollywood, like there's to find a prime real estate, like as somebody who watches $1 Million Listing Los Angeles on a regular basis.
As it turns out, the guys from $1 Million Listing, Josh and Matt.
Yeah, the Altman brothers.
They hold the listing for this property.
Oh my gosh, that's horrifying. That's scary.
I wouldn't have them sell my house.
Why?
I would go with James and David, the Brits. Okay. That's why I like them a lot more. Though I do like Altman's brother more than I like Altman, and since he's had a kid, he's become a much more tolerable.
Mackenzie said, why is he selling it though?
Because he's going to make a boatload of money. That's why.
Or because it's haunted
by
ghosts.
No, it's not.
Oh, the lights are flickering. Ghosts have an $85 million home.
Who is that touching me?
Like, ghosts have, ghost internet. They're not paying attention to what you're doing. They're
running through your car. Or
they're
copper
on ghost
fiber
social
cables.
Media.
They're slowing down your Wi-Fi.
Do they, when they don't hit somebody back, it's just called... It's like normal.
Well, it's 5G, G stands for ghost.
I'm ghosting you. Like, that's just what I do.
I'm doing you?
Maybe they're having some kind of transmitting trouble. Why don't we phone the station?
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail. 833-YO-DUMMY. Again, 833-YO-DUMMY.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Have any of you guys ever been defeated by a lid off a jar? The other day, I was trying to take the lid off the jelly, and man, that was a struggle.
Message deleted.
Man, it is real demasculating whenever you can't get the lid off of a jar and you're doing that thing where you're like tapping it on the counter.
Oh, I grab a towel.
You grab a towel, bit, but then you're like, oh, this towel doesn't have good enough grip. It's not like too weak.
And then you just like squeeze it as hard as you can. Then your hand gets like a cramp in it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's jelly, unless it's a big, I feel like for me, it's always the bigger
like
jars.
The pickle, like the
because
pickle
it's
jars.
Like when your hand harder, has to like yeah. get yeah. like, because you don't get as much grip.
Man, we are soft.
We are, but I had to. So we were talking about my wife's headlight being out on her car, and in like when you're replacing the headlight in her car, there's a thing where you have to like turn it.
Yeah.
And like how much torque I'm like putting, 230 pounds of all my body weight behind this to try to like turn this little tiny piece of plastic 1/8 of an inch.
How infuriating.
Man, what's really infuriating is when you have like something that you're repairing in your car and you're reaching in somewhere and you have to crank it to turn it like you're talking about.
Yeah.
But then you nick your knuckle. You know what I'm talking about?
Right there.
Yeah.
On the side. On the side.
God.
Oh, I did it.
Okay?
And I'm like, now I have tetanus.
Do you need some PTO?
I put a Band-Aid and some Neosporin on it.
Yeah.
No, you got to get those scars.
I don't want. Who wants scars?
They remind us that the past is real, Mahoney.
No,
you
they
just gotta like level it up. You Jacoby know, each Shattuck. Scar, each scar has a story, and you could tell the story to your children.
Yeah,
I was doing something for
this
your mother
I
one day.
This is when I change your grandma's life.
No,
room.
My kids are gonna know that I'm lying because they know that I don't do anything with my hands. They're gonna be like, "You're a liar, Dad," and you're probably not really my dad.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey, what's the biggest reason why your significant other has yet to leave you guys? Is it the money? Yeah, it's probably the money.
Message deleted.
That is not the case.
Yeah, the money.
For us.
No, I baby trapped her.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Four times.
Yeah, I'm like, there's a fourth kid on the way. What are you going to do, divorce me and then go blend families with somebody else?
You start a modern partridge family?
You have nine kids. Good luck.
Well, but actually, that may be a good TV show, like a modern partridge family.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if Andrew's, I don't know if he's going to leave me.
Wait a minute, you don't know?
No.
You haven't trapped him?
Well, no, I mean, like whenever we're sitting here thinking about it, I'm like, well, we're both broke. I don't know if I'm able to have kids, so I can't honey trap him quite yet. We'll figure that out. And then on the, he does love me. Today is our anniversary.
It is?
Yes.
Oh, that's nice.
Is it your wedding or dating?
Third year wedding anniversary.
Three years already?
I know. We've been together for eight.
Wow.
Yeah,
happy anniversary. What are you guys doing? Anything exciting?
We're going to a steakhouse tonight.
Very nice.
Yeah,
love
but
a good steakhouse.
The reservations are for 8:30 p.m.
Oh, that's
what
way too late.
Hell?
Why so late on a?
You know what? He doesn't love you.
So
this is proof.
He wants
who makes reservations?
See, I feel like he's testing my loyalty.
8:30. What are you talking about? Like 4:30.
I would divorce my wife right now, or she would divorce me.
Yeah.
You want to know why my wife has not left me at this point? Because have you seen, like, no matter how bad I am, which is pretty awful. Have you seen the rest of the dating pool out there?
Ooh, it's awful.
So you're just saying you're not good. It's just worse out
there. I'm not great, but I'm not the worst.
Mahoney, I will co-sign on that all day long.
And I'm tall.
Looking at the single pool, there are attractive people, but God, their personalities suck. If you're over, am I about to say this? If you're over a certain age, I won't say the age, but if you're over a certain age and you're single and you've not already been, like say you're divorced, whatever, that's fine. You've been divorced. That's totally fine. But if you've been single this whole time, that is the biggest red flag to me, and there's so many of them out there, and I just don't know if I can get
down on that. I think the age is like 40 years old. If you are like, I think there are a lot of people out there who look at people, men and women, and they go, "You haven't been married by this time," or at least if you're divorced, you go, "Okay, you gave it a shot."
Yeah,
right. You're like, "Why haven't you been in a?" I'm not saying this is right, but they go, "Why haven't you been in a relationship?"
It's a red flag.
Well, there's a difference though, right? It's like if you haven't been in any long term relationships,
that's it too.
That's a red flag.
Yeah.
But I mean, like
if
you date. dated somebody and you were together for like 9 years and you didn't get married, like the whole marriage thing is like you're just involving the state.
Well, that makes sense though,
well,
too.
At this point now.
That if you've been in a night, so that at least shows that you have the ability for commitment.
Right.
Like 9 years or you've been married.
I
want
to see records though. That's the thing. Like, I could just say if I was a single guy and I was out here dating, I would be like, oh yeah, and I wasn't in like long-term relationships, I'd be like, yeah, oh, I had a 12-year-long relationship.
You're like,
you got no proof of that.
I'm going to need to see your ass facts.
Call or text the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show anytime at 833-YO-DUMMY.
So the question that we have for you today, you can call or text us anytime at 833-YO-DUMMY on social media at Dave Mahoney, is what is the weirdest or wildest experience that you've ever had at a motel? Not even a hotel. I'm talking about a motel, because there is a big difference between a hotel and a motel party. This one, from our boy North Dakota, he said, I checked into a motel once at the beach, and there was a live crab under my bed.
Funny. Usually not
Have
the
you
kind
also
of crabs,
gotten crabs at a, you at a motel?
Yeah. That's not the kind.
Yeah.
Is that a feature? Do they charge for that? Because crab's expensive.
Chelsea said, I stayed at a Motel 6 in Inglewood. My parents were terrified. Nothing happened.
Of course not.
Yeah. It's a Motel 6, you know.
It's fine.
Ace said one time we were in L.A. for the X Games and somebody knocked on the window.
Oh, no.
And he pulled out, I opened the blinds, he pulled out a baggie of white drugs and offered to sell it to us. I mean, that's just a good old school entrepreneur there.
Yeah,
just going
door
to
door. Door to door crack salesman.
Yeah.
I do not like any motel that has, I will not stay at a place that has a window that is facing somewhere you can stand. Like, I will not stay on the first floor, and I will not stay on, like, those motels that, like, you know, multiple floors with the outward-facing window.
Ew.
I hate that.
Man, I have a girlfriend who is a pretty successful, like, sports reporter, and so she travels around a lot for different games and matches and things like that. And she got put up by the production team at a motel, and it was, you know, like not a terrible motel, but still had exactly what you're talking about with the out-facing window and the door.
Where you could stand, yeah.
And there, she said it was late one night. She heard somebody messing with her door, and so she went over and like peeked out the window, and there was a guy pushing on the door trying to get into her room. And she, in hindsight, thinks that it was probably just like some drunk guy who had mistaken the wrong room.
Yeah.
Or maybe it wasn't.
Yeah.
Like, it might have been some guy who, like, followed her.
Yeah, scary
as hell.
And
was trying to force his way into her room.
Mm-mm.
And she was on the phone with her husband, like, terrified. And, of course, it's terrifying for her husband, who's
you're not there, yeah.
Can't do anything about it. But she's like, this guy's trying to force his way into my room right now. And so he ended up calling the cops and security and all that stuff and got it cleared up. But she's like, man, that was terrifying. But the guy ended up, like,
just moving on.
Getting out of there before anyone showed up. So she still has no idea to this day what happened.
So let me ask you, are motels, can I also take this to like a hostel?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Because that's like still. Yeah.
I feel like that's still like maybe even a step below a motel.
Oh, I feel definitely. Like that, right? So this, so I can tell the story.
Sure.
It has nothing to do with me, but a couple of my girlfriends decided that they were going to stay in a hostel when they were visiting Mexico. And they had one girl, so it was four girls. One of them, though, was like, the free spirit, we'll call her. The one that was like, I feel independent enough in this territory that we don't know where I can go off and do things by myself.
And that is how every horror movie starts.
I can drink by myself.
Yeah. So, in a foreign country where you don't speak the language.
Exactly. But she's also traveled by herself before to, you know, other countries. So she felt like this was something that she felt that she could do. But there's a difference, in my opinion. If you are going to be traveling by yourself, you put your own self in danger. If you're traveling with other people and decide to have this independent moment, you're putting the people's lives in danger that you're traveling with, right? Yeah. So she went out. Everybody wanted to come in after having a boozy night. And she was like, no, I feel like I still want to stay out. You guys go ahead and go back. And she came back with them, left the door unlocked, went back out to go booze up some more. There was a guy at the foot of one of my best friend's bed that she woke up to after this girl did not lock the door back because she was drunk and wanted to go back out and party more. And they had a guy at the foot of the bed who was rummaging through all of their stuff, stole like phone chargers, one of their phones, and then escaped through the window.
What?
Right. Like this, like the whole thing, like came through the front door, escaped through the window. Couldn't find him. And of course, one of my friends went running after him. Dumb. But escaped through the window. And you're in, another country with no phone chargers. And one of your phones is missing.
Hate it.
And the girl, the girl, they couldn't get a hold of or find the girl.
I would assume
she,
I would assume she was dead.
Yeah, I would have assumed she was dead as
so
well.
So she died?
She did not die. But that
would have made the story.
The friendship died.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, you put your friends in a situation. I personally, you know, it's like a foreign country where you don't speak the language is one thing. I don't like going to a city I don't live in and going to like places I don't know and getting really wrecked.
Yeah, I mean, like it's a bad idea to do that in Baltimore, but like doing that in like Tijuana is like that's how you get. Really bad stuff happens.
I feel like this is a PSA. If you were that, oh, I'm a free spirit, I can go and do things on my own. Whenever you were with a group of people, you were the person who got invited last.
Yeah.
For real, though. Like, you were the person who everybody was like, God, we have to invite them. Because you are always the one who is never wanting to do what the group is wanting to do. You're the worst person to have at any type of event.
Every single time. Ed said, Motel, Crenshaw Avenue, LA Coliseum concert. We forgot our concert tickets in the room. Returned to find the tickets. Rooms had been cleaned. Tickets were gone. I jumped into a dumpster and went through all the garbage bags to find our tickets. It was the year 2000.
He found them?
Yeah.
Please tell me that was a Limp Bizkit show.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show.
So the weirdest thing that's ever happened to you, not at a hotel, but a motel. So
not a Holiday Inn.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Not too. Dude, Holiday Inns are actually kind of expensive.
Dak said, weirdest thing for me, I stayed at a Motel 6 one time. Light was off, terrified.
Damn you, Tom Bodette. Why are you always lying?
Why are you always lying?
But damn, you have a great voice.
Great voice.
Gonzo on our chat, twitch.tv/Dave Mahoney, said, stayed at the Texas station way back in the day. Was here for a job interview. In the middle of the night, a woman knocked on the door and asked if I had called for a girl. I later learned that this happened to my coworkers in town for work when they were staying there. Very, very common. Yeah, I don't think I'm opening the door.
No.
Unexpected knock at any, even a hotel, I'm not.
No,
like,
definitely
like
not.
Nice hotel, still not doing it. For me, my motel story, I mean, my first time I ever got drunk was at a Motel 6, which, again, my buddy's, I think it was 15th or 16th birthday party. His mom got us connecting rooms at a Motel 6.
What is she doing?
I don't know.
What are you doing? Was she the cool mom?
Not, I mean, she would just let him do anything.
So she thought she was the cool mom.
Yeah. And
or the enabler.
Yeah.
Definitely an enabler. And so I drank half a bottle of Seagram 7 that night, and I'd never drank before. And so
good start.
I ended up, you know, they laid me over one of those luggage racks.
Yeah.
And they put the
bucket
under me, and I just threw up all night long. And then my buddy, whose birthday was, ended up in the shower crying. But that's not the weirdest thing that's ever happened to us at a motel. So we, same friend, we were at a Days Inn, which that falls into a still in the motel category.
Sure.
I would say the outward facing window where you can stand next to. We're there throwing a hotel or a motel party with some girls from the all girls Catholic school.
Oh my!
And this is my senior year of high school.
Yeah.
And you know, we had just invited like four guys, and I think there was like seven girls who were coming, and we had a bunch of Bartles and James, which you know is those fuzzy navels things.
Yeah.
We're gonna get wild.
Yeah.
And my buddy's cousin, same guy who 16th birthday was at the Motel 6, told a bunch of people who wanted to beat his ass. And so 10 dudes showed up at this hotel party
drunk on fuzzy navels
to beat my buddy's ass.
Oh man.
And they like bust into this hotel room, and my buddy's not big. He was 5'6", maybe 120 pounds.
Yeah.
And you got a guy who's like 6'2". He had been held back four times. He's like 22.
Dang it.
Holding him up on one of those beds next to the horrible just artwork piece. Yeah. You know, like weird. It's always a clown in one of those crappy motels, like a weird clown painting, oil painting. And just holding them there trying to murder him. But the best part, so it's like, I had no beef with any of these guys. I was trying to do my best to de-escalate this situation. But the only other guy who was still in the room who wasn't out on a beer run at the time ran into the bathroom because he thought they were there to beat his ass and took off the top of the toilet tank and barricaded himself into the bathroom.
What a terrible friend.
Yes. And so 25 years later, JB... We're still calling you out for that,
you bitch.
But almost getting murdered in a motel room at what was probably the weirdest thing.
Yeah, and then it's up there.
The guys left, and then when strangely enough, when you're like 17 years old, like people come in to threaten to murder you. And everybody's like, nah, we'll still drink. We still got more fuzzy navels left.
Yeah,
fuzzy
navels. Are you dead or not? Okay, let's have some fuzzy navels.
Some fruit punch.
Fuzzy navels.
Cricket
said, blueberry blasts.
First time staying in Vegas, I was with my husband and kids, and the only place to stay was a very shady motel on the strip, past the welcome to Las Vegas sign. My husband and I go to get the bags, come back inside to find our four-year-old son watching an adult movie on the TV because it was on every channel, LOL.
Oh, no.
Oof.
No. Chelsea said, I stayed at a motel near Disneyland, and it was disgusting. There were stains on the walls,
Ew-y.
The furniture, and the bedding. Very outdated. I don't know if it was actually dirty or just old, but I couldn't sleep. Yeah, any hotel that doesn't have the white bedding,
oh no,
they're trying to hide the stains.
Yes.
Ew.
It's like the carpeting, you know, where it's all multicolored and has a bunch of weird patterns. That's what they do with the bedding at like really cheap motels. Yeah, yeah. It's always like that floral.
They don't
like
wash that maroon every, floral. Between every
no,
guest.
Of course not.
Let me.
Oh, Mahoney, can I ask this first? Because mine's a quick answer. At what age did you guys finally stop cheaping out on prices of like where you're staying?
I would say, I mean, because
there
was
definitely college, you could do motel easy, right?
Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, like any room, anywhere, you know, like six dudes, one hotel room, as long as it's close to the action, we were all about that. But I would say probably like mid-20s is when I was like, all right, like I can't just be like trying to get bed bugs.
27, 28, yeah. Around there. Yeah. I mean, like I had a girlfriend at the time, and I think that's the kind of that was the tipping point for me. What I was going to ask you, going back to the one about the shady motel and the adult movies, how bad do you think the porno motel business is hurting these days?
Bad, real bad.
Because you ever, like, I mean, let's just say like 12, 13 years ago, whatever it was, you're at a motel, you're out of town, you're like, you know,
take care of business.
Yeah. I'm
lonely.
But those movies to rent were like $40.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Expensive.
It was unbelievable.
There is a
expensive,
new,
but cheaper than a date.
Dude, yeah. There's a new documentary. I don't know if you've seen it yet on Netflix, but it's talking about in Times Square in like the 70s.
Oh yeah, it was porno shops everywhere.
Have you seen this documentary?
I haven't seen that yet, but I mean, I know about New York in the 70s and 80s.
It was like Motel Central for like pornos, and there was a two ladies who were in the porno industry who got murdered in Times Square at a motel,
right.
And they got caught on fire. So that's probably why. It's the end of the motel porno era. Would died with them. That's freaking scary. 70s. It didn't go into the 80s, did
it? Yeah, it did. New York.
Motel porn?
No, motel hotel and motel porn was until we got it on our cell phones.
It's still a thing.
Yeah.
It's still
no,
there.
It's not.
Yes, it is. If you go to...
Mine's sensual for ladies. For ladies only in 4K.
Mm-hmm.
Every weekday morning from 6 to 10, the David Mahoney Morning Show.
So Ian, our producer, said I was hanging out at a motel with a pimp and a couple of girls, not trafficked, I asked. And I got offered a lady, got offered meth, got kicked out of the said motel, trespassed. Next day, somebody got murdered. Pretty sure it was the pimp. You got to hang out with that pimp on the last day of his life. Isn't that special?
And I guess the old adage holds true. Pimping ain't easy.
I was at a motel party at the Knights Inn off Bush River Road. Classy mm-hmm. place. It's right behind a Waffle House to kind of paint the visual.
But, you know, you loved that Waffle House was then walking distance.
Yeah, yeah. And so we were all underage. We were there partying. And the thing that I remember is very specifically, not one, but two people showed up with a full bottle of Goldschlager.
Oh, God.
Oh,
and if you don't know what Goldschlager is, just imagine Fireball, but worse.
It's
Fireball,
like Christmas, but like nightmare Christmas.
But it burns when it goes down. But it has gold flakes in it.
It cuts the inside of your stomach lining so you get drunker faster, man.
Why did they say that? Because that's such
idiots.
A lie.
Stupid. So we're at the Goldschlager Knights Inn motel party. Having the time of our lives. And you know what?
We've all been there.
You know what I'm talking about? Where it's like that
Absolutely.
Awkward motel party where there's just like way too many people sitting on the uncomfortable bed.
Yes.
Because there's just not enough. Like there's nothing to
Nobody's
do in a motel
for the
room.
Couch. No
we're
one's there.
There's no, it's not a suite. We don't have a couch here. It's like everyone's like sitting lined around the edge of the bed and leaning against the cheap furniture. And I was sitting there. I'm like, I'm gonna have a smoke,
no.
And so I went to go look for my smokes, and I was like, oh, I left my smokes in the car.
I forget that was a part of your life.
And I get up and I go to walk outside, and as I'm walking out, the cops are walking up.
Gasp!
And I was like, ugh.
I mean, this is a problem at motel parties.
Yeah, because there's nowhere to go.
Well, this hotel wasn't in your name, right?
It was not in my name. It was in somebody else's name.
Also, so you ran. The people who put, when you were a teenager, who like older friends or parents would put their names
on
the hotel room?
What are you doing?
You're like, never. Same.
But so the point is, I didn't run because the cops are walking up, but they're like right there. Like I walk out the door, I'm like, oh, hello, officers.
Oh, hello.
But I couldn't run because my sibling was in the room and my girlfriend was in the room.
No.
And I'm like, should I go back in? Like an idiot. And they're like, no, you're okay because you weren't in the room when we arrived. And I was like, all right, cool. Whatever.
Those cops are being pretty cool. Yeah, yeah.
But they pull everyone else out and they start calling everyone's parents.
And you're attached to the brother who was there.
I'm attached to the brother.
By association.
But the bigger problem for me is that they called my girlfriend's parents. And so I had to sit there and wait with her as she was handcuffed and it got a ticket on the curb.
Oh, no.
And her dad pulled up. And I will never forget the look that her dad gave me.
I mean, you would give that any man that did that to one of your daughters.
Sure.
The same look.
Oh, and he already hated me to begin with.
Have you been practicing that look for future?
I know how to give that look because of this moment. And they uncuff his daughter, and she has to sheepishly walk over to him with the ticket in her hand. And he just looked at me and, like, put his arm around her, and they just walked off. And that was it for the night. I mean, like, we, you know, still...
How long did that relationship last after that moment?
She was the one that ended up cheating on me. So yeah,
the one that you showed up to.
Yeah, the Hampton Inn. Yeah,
that's another inn story.
Hampton Inn's actually pretty nice, though.
Oh, they're nicer than motels.
Yeah. Hampton Inn's not bad.
Yeah, very consistent.
I've always enjoyed my stay.
So Dave showed up to this Hampton Inn and almost fought a man who
an
assistant manager that was wearing a white collared shirt with a tie that was short sleeve.
Looked like Michael Douglas and Falling Down.
And the fact that you almost fought a man and did not fight a man who was wearing that
outfit because he honestly probably could have kicked my ass while wearing that outfit in the parking lot where he was assistant managing. Yeah.
Do you know what that guy's last name was?
I can't remember.
I would love to find out what he's doing. Like I will go down a rabbit hole. Like there's nights where I get insomnia and just can't sleep. And I'm like, think about all the people I kind of hate or who did me wrong. And I'm like, I wonder what they're doing right now. And then go
and
to
you
their
start
Facebook.
Looking them up.
Yeah. Go find their Facebook page.
Name is John. I don't remember what he's up to now.
Jingleheimer Schmidt.
Wouldn't it be great if he was still the assistant manager at that place?
Go to LinkedIn.
I would just call that Hampton Inn and like book the entire conference space, but then give him a bad credit card number.
Dave, you need to go to LinkedIn. You can find this guy and just search for assistant managers at that specific.
I mean, this was like 20 years ago.
I bet
like
he has it on his LinkedIn. You can find him. Let's find this guy and revel in his misery.
It turns out he's like some tech billionaire now. I'm like, yeah, dang it.
Oh, yeah. Don't go Googling things if you don't want the answer.
Backfire on you.
We call him Mullet Man. Business up front. Front. Party in the back. Business up front.
It's a hairdo and a fish.
So this game is called Mullet Over, and it's pretty easy in concept, right? We have three different clips of people that Ian has pulled from the internet that all sound like they could have a mullet. Only one of them actually does, and it's our collective job to try to figure out which one of these people has a mullet.
I mean, this is one of the most we have to put all of our brain power together to discover this big mullet energy. But all of these things sound like they could be mullets.
I mean, definitely. And it doesn't sound like you're like, oh, I'll be able to figure this out. It's pretty tricky because, again, very, very mullet sounding on each one of them.
But the thing I love about this game, Dave, and the thing I love about the mullet in general, Audrey, is that there are so many different mullets for so many different walks of life.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
You got the tech mullet. You got the nerd mullet. You got the meth mullet. The skullet.
The skullet. Let me introduce you to something that could be a little methy, but definitely is not the nerd mullet. This is the super cool Florida backyard stuntman mullet.
Oh.
Okay. So this guy goes by Superhuman with
of course
two M's.
He does.
Yeah. And let me just play the audio for you. You guys tell me if you think that this gentleman has a mullet or not. A backyard Florida stuntman.
This is Superhuman TV Show. Today I'll be doing a full flip onto barbed wire, cactus, Legos. This is for the juggalos and juggalettes. Do not try this at home, and I hope you like it. Whoop, whoop. This boop boop.
All right.
This guy's not putting on either.
No, he's not putting on. He just did a front flip.
I know this guy.
You know him?
I mean, I know of him. I've seen all of his videos. I went down.
You have?
Yeah, so I'm gonna recuse myself from this one.
No, so it's just me and Dave who are going to have to try and guess?
On this one, yes.
Oh, no.
I mean, he sounds like he very well could have a mullet, but
he's repping the Juggalos.
Do most Juggalos have? I don't think so. I don't think that the mullets and Juggalos are that synonymous.
Two different cultures, Dave.
I don't know. He sounds like he's sniffed a lot of glue.
Yeah,
he is a great stuntman.
Is he? He sounds like he hurts himself.
I mean, how does he sound like he hurts himself?
The 90s, this dude would have been king of the backyard wrestling scene. I'll say that
much.
Is
this current day Mahoney?
I think that video is from maybe 5-6 years ago.
Oh, God.
I feel like
that
would be a long 5-6 years.
Too current.
All right, so here we go on to number two. This is the Floribama mullet fish toss competitors.
Oh, yeah, the mullet toss.
So you're familiar with them? So
yes.
They throw dead mullets, the fish. And they throw them across the Florida-Alabama borderline.
Okay, but this isn't fair because a lot of people put on fake mullets in order to do the mullet toss.
Mm. So have a listen. Tell me if you think that these guys sound like they have mullets.
Roll Tide. Come on, everybody knows Roll Tide. This is Alabama. We Alabama folk down here. Come on, it's Alabama. You don't know Roll Tide? You know what? You're learning. I can tell you're not from here. You speak really clear. I can understand all your words.
Roll Tide, baby.
I had open heart surgery, and I'm drinking a beer. That's kind of bad, but I mean, I just like balls. I mean, you know, I just like looking at them and everything, man. What's not to love about them? I mean, they're just the best.
Smell like but tastes like pudding.
Oh,
no,
boy.
I have secondhand embarrassment right now.
Why?
Being from the great state of Alabama, that literally just hurt my heart hearing all that Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
Right, Rammer Jammer, baby. Lord have mercy. Ooh. I feel like they're all wearing fake mullets.
Wearing fake mullets? See, I think that they are authentic mullets. I feel like you get shamed if you show up wearing a fake mullet.
I would be surprised if there were any real mullets.
No, they
in
have
there.
That two-a-day really? Swoop bang going on. If you remember that MTV show, Two-a-Days, that hairstyle is still ingrained into the great state
you
of
ever
Alabama.
Been to that that Floribama bar that's
yes.
on both? You have
yeah,
been there?
Yeah, in the Gulf.
And the final one here is Poisonous Perry Martell's song, Drinking Beer and Smoking Cigarettes. Perry Martell.
Which sounds like a wrestler.
It does.
It's party time. I like drinking beer and smoking cigarettes. Do I like to party? The answer is yes. I like drinking beer and smoking cigarettes. And when it comes to getting down, I am the best. I don't have any rules. Not even one. The only rule I have fun. I smoke 100 cigarettes and drink 1,000 beers. And that's just in one day. Imagine in one year. Most people have boring lives with families and jobs. My family is this jacket and my job is to rock. I'm drunk all the time, even during the day. My parents say, get a job. I say, no way. Cause I like drinking beer and
First off, you just ripped off Monster Mash. But secondly, that slapped. That was great.
I say, no way.
Poisonous Perry Martell. I'm leaning with you, Audrey. His like just the crispness of his voice, right? Obviously, it seems like this is parody what he is doing. It just sounds, his voice is too crisp. I am not imagining a mullet.
Okay,
on that
so
gentleman.
You're thinking then, because you already know the answer to number one, and I feel like if you're removing yourself, then you know that they probably don't have a mullet. I'm just, and that's just my gut instinct there. So you're thinking that the boys from Floribama have got the mullet? Is that what you're going with?
I'm curious to see what Dave thinks.
I have the answer.
Oh, you have the answer?
Yeah.
Oh, drats. Okay. Oh, gosh.
Okay. You don't, who do you think doesn't have it? Who are you going with?
Okay, my instinct, because I seriously know that a lot of people, whenever they're at Floribama, God, but the mullet is back in. I want to know what era this the mullet toss was happening. Because
nope.
if it's now, then that's mullet city. But if it was like 5 years ago, then it was probably fake mullet wigs. I'm gonna go with our boy, whatever his name is, Poison Perry or whatever.
Poisonous Perry Martell.
I will. Let's just eliminate Superhuman.
Okay.
The greatest stuntman of all time.
You guys are correct. Superhuman has a lot of pain, but no mullet. So.
So I'm going to play the odds. I think number three, Poisonous Perry Martell.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just too on the nose,
personally,
and I just there's a crispness to his voice that throws me. So I'm going to not go with him, and I'm going to play the odds and go with the mullet toss because we heard like four or five people in that montage.
Oh, Rotad. Okay, let's see, Dave. Which one is it?
What's your final answer?
My final answer is Poisonous Perry.
Poisonous Perry is...
It's party time.
Incorrect, I'm sorry.
Oh.
I like drinking beer and smoking cigarettes.
Loves to drink beer, smoke cigarettes, doesn't have time to be keeping up a mullet. Mahoney, you are correct, sir. Well done.
Poisonous Perry looks like Max Mom from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia and or Mama Fratelli from The Goonies.
Oh,
a little bit. And congratulations again. It was, in fact,
Roll Tide
that had the mullets.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
So do you think having more money makes you nicer or meaner?
Meaner.
Audrey?
Meaner, without a doubt.
Yeah, yeah. Analyzing data from 46,000 people across 67 countries, they included information on wealth, levels of morality, moral behavior, helped a team from a university in Norway make the discovery that rich people are more likely to be mean and those with a poorer background are more likely to be kind. And I think that that has a lot to do with the way that you were raised as well. Like there's plenty of people that I know that have plenty of money now, but they were raised without a bunch of money. And as a result, they understand like what the other side is like. Like if you just come from money and you expect to always have money and influence and power over people, and you've never just been there trying to figure it out on your own, you don't really have an understanding.
You and I have been a part of countless charity drives, for a myriad of reasons. And one of the things that we found out, some of the people who don't have the most
give the most
without a doubt, because you know it's like, hey, I feel like I have some, and I know where you are.
Yeah, and I mean, don't get me wrong, it's amazing when like the car dealership from down the road shows up
for
with
sure.
the big check for $10,000 or whatever. But the thing that always got me is like the little boy or the little girl who had been saving up their allowance that comes with the $10 or $20 bill and drops that in the box. You know, like that's the stuff that really gets you.
For
absolutely,
sure.
Which because that.
That's all the money they have.
And it's you're taking it out of,
It's not just a tax deduction.
So, that wouldn't surprise me, unfortunately. Yeah. I think, if we go back to biblical times, a rich man has the same odds of getting into heaven as a camel passing through the eye of a needle.
What did you just say? That was so, not only eloquently said, but like I just blacked out from the fact that you just spit out that quote.
Mahoney's got a
like
Bible
that.
Verse on draw
like,
for us.
Yeah.
It's something like that. I'm not quoting it exactly, but it's something similar to that.
I wouldn't have known. Yeah. It felt like it. But Dave, you just said something very interesting because this is how I feel, and I feel like maybe I'm jaded to the process, but like whenever I'm at the grocery store and it's every time I'm asked whether or not I want to donate to like whatever cause, my brain instantly goes, you're only doing this for tax reasons. You're not actually to evade taxes. Literally, you're not doing this out of the goodness of your heart. And it makes me feel so spiteful to wherever I'm at that is asking me that
question. Some states have laws against that though. So I think it depends on where you are, because there are some states that say you cannot do that. And
like the roundup for charity, and the reason they're doing that is so they can get the tax deduction by giving donations.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like if it ends up going to a good and worthy cause, then who really cares how it gets there, right? I mean, so I'm with you, though. I mean, like, you're like, man, are you
because
just
Because I never
this?
Thought about it like that before somebody told me. They're like, how did it feel whenever you finally realized that these big corporate chains, the reasons why they're even asking for your money and your donations
do it yourself.
Is so that they can evade taxes.
I find myself, one of the things I've found myself, there are a few charities that I hold real close. But what I have found over the last, like, I would say 2 or 3 years, like, I'm more apt to go to somebody's GoFundMe to an individual.
For sure.
I've been finding my like I was looking because I was looking at some of my starting to get my tax stuff, and I was looking at where I've sent my money in 2021, and More, the biggest portion was to GoFundMe and individuals.
Yeah,
because I don't know. It's because like there's something about a personal story, and it makes it an individual that always moves me more.
So Cracker Barrel, speaking of big money, a Tennessee man went to a Cracker Barrel, and now he is walking with more than $9 million after they accidentally served him cleaning liquid instead of water.
What do they think? It was one of those old-timey soda bottles that they sell in the front store?
What's wild about this is how long it took for this to come through. So this actually happened back in April of 2014.
Wow.
This guy did this.
That's a long time.
Waitress accidentally refilled his glass with a mixture of water and EcoSan, which is a commercial-grade bleach,
how does that
according
happen?
To the lawsuit. So he ingested the beverage, turned out to be a chemical.
Oh, no.
And, yeah.
As it wrecked him.
Sustained severe and permanent injuries that require medical attention. So he developed gastrointestinal issues like regular cramping and bloating, diarrhea, and reflux. And he, in fact, got a huge judgment.
That doesn't seem like enough.
Just this week. So it's been going on. They drug it out in court for the last 7-8 years. $4.3 million in actual damages and then $5 million in punitive damages.
The fact that they did not settle out of court and they drug this guy through the mud for X amount of years. I'm not doing that math in my head right now. I refuse. But however many years that is, 8 years.
Yeah, I mean, Cracker Barrel.
I did not have the wherewithal to do that math.
Terrible move by them. I get that they have to sell a lot of cheese hash browns in order to make up for nearly $10 million. But the fact that you're making this dude waited out for 8 years
to get
money while he's been going, it wrecked him internally.
In our chat, Cleve said probably somebody using a pitcher instead of a cleaning bucket and having this cleaning solution in the pitcher, but still, oh my God.
But who does that?
A lot of Laffy Taffy you're going to have to sell, Cracker Barrel. Dolly Parton cassettes.
Smother Brothers, best of on VHS.
They always have the most random stuff.
Which,
at the
actually, by the way, if you've never watched the Smothers Brothers, it's on Amazon Prime right now.
Mm-hmm.
Funny stuff.
What even is that?
It was like a variety. It was one of the original variety shows.
Oh,
I thought it was like a murder mystery, like the Smother Brothers.
I was just thinking. No, I was thinking like Gravy Base.
Oh well, smother me with gravy, baby.
It's people whose lifetime goal is to own a fireworks stand. It's the Redneck Report.
Nobody likes being robbed, especially of medicine that you need, right? Like if somebody steals your prescription meds, it can be a big problem for you, especially if you need them to function or if you're sick, right? So one guy in Milton, West Virginia, called the cops and said, somebody has stolen my prescription medicine at gunpoint, and I need you to help me out. This guy's name is Corey. He was arrested at 8:30 a.m. Friday morning after officers responded to his residence, and they said, well, we don't know exactly where your prescription meds went, but we did happen to notice the 5 grams of crystal meth that's in plain view of the living room, in the living room, after you called us to come over to investigate who stole your prescription meds at gunpoint.
So you're saying the moral of the story is, Dave, if you call the cops because your medicines were stolen, put away your crystal meth before they
hide
get there?
Your crystal meth, yeah. Yeah, that's pretty good advice, Mahoney, yeah.
Do we know what kind of medicine it was?
He called at 3 a.m. to say that his prescription meds had been stolen. Did not specify what the prescription meds were. The cops showed up. He got arrested 8:30 in the morning on a Friday.
Boner pills. It had to be boner pills, right?
It's got to be boner pills.
I'm just freaked out.
By the meth sitting on the living room table and not being aware enough that you've just phoned the cops to come over and check the place out?
I feel like if you've got 5 grams of meth sitting on your table, that seems pretty par for the course.
Mahoney, back-to-back days, another story involving Kalamazoo, which, again, fun place to say.
One of our favorite things to say, yeah.
Kalamazoo.
A 25-year-old from Kalamazoo was driving south on US 131 when he decided that he was going to pull a Dukes of Hazzard, left the freeway. This is at 2:05 p.m. on January 14th. He had a black Chevy Impala that he was driving, left the road, drove up an embankment, and then went airborne, hit a road sign before landing on the other side of the bridge, according to cops.
There is video of this guy.
And he goes airborne.
I mean, he goes
full blown. You never go full blown Dukes of Hazzard, but never. This guy went full blown Duke. And when you say embankment, Dave, so you know, like overpasses, you know, like you got a road going over there. He went up one of those, which is probably 20 feet in the air already at about 90 miles an hour.
Yeah, he was very drunk, as it turns out. The 25-year-old at 2:05 in the afternoon tried to pull this off. He was injured, but nothing life-threatening, which is pretty amazing considering how hard he came down and the car flipped and everything else. Has been charged with driving while intoxicated.
Also, just goes to show you, wear your seatbelt.
Yeah. I don't know why the medical experts have to tell you this, but they're reminding people to not try to catch COVID. So people
don't go licking spoons.
Yeah, well, no, like some people are having
a chicken pox party, but this is not the same thing.
People have been doing this since the beginning of COVID, because we thought that at the very early inception that we all thought, oh, once we just get it once, we'll never get it again.
Yeah, like once you have it once, then you're through the woods, you're all good, you can just go about living your life.
Silly.
Not the case. You can get COVID a whole bunch of times. Isn't that fun?
There's variants.
Yay.
Multiple times.
So a Florida man was arrested for using his Chevy Camaro to impersonate police. This bizarre story began when a real officer from the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office saw a yellow Chevy Camaro pull another vehicle over on I-95. Under the impression the Chevy Camaro driver was an undercover officer, the real cop pulled over nearby in case he needed help with the traffic stop. He then observed the driver standing next to the driver's side window before he handed something back to the driver and drove away. He thought it was strange, but the Chevy Camaro driver did not acknowledge his presence or thank him for providing backup. So he followed the vehicle, ran its tags, and it turns out the Camaro came back as being a police vehicle. However, it was registered to a nearby city of Green Cove Springs rather than Jacksonville. The officer then pulled up alongside the Camaro to, you know, wave at his fellow officer, as is customary in many departments, but the male occupant did not wave back. That's when the Jacksonville sheriff realized something is amiss. Mm. So he decided he was going to inquire with one of the officers why somebody from this Green Cove Springs Police Department would pull someone over outside of their jurisdiction, and a dispatcher then told the officer, the Chevy Camaro was recently brought into the dealership to have more police lights installed, and the dude was actually an employee of the Ford dealership, and he straight up stole the car.
You're a Ford employee driving a Chevy Camaro? Judas.
In Jacksonville, Florida?
Also,
you son of a bitch.
I will never in my life understand why there are these dorks who are out there trying to impersonate cops to pull people over.
Like, what's the point?
And we hear these stories on a regular basis.
It's got to be some like weird God complex type of thing. Like,
just they always get caught.
Become a cop.
Yeah.
Like if you want to be a cop,
it only
become
takes six
a cop.
Months. It takes 6 months, right? That's half a year.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. Like there's obviously levels, right? Like it takes a while to become a police officer.
You've got to be an entry level at all things.
And, right. And I'm going to tell you this too. I am not, like, I know that they have undercover cop cars out there. I'm not pulling over for a Camaro or a PT Cruiser or whatever you're under. Like, it needs.
Man,
like,
if you're driving a PT Cruiser, you are way too undercover. Like, I ain't stopping for you. I'll pit maneuver you.
Maybe they're having some kind of transmitting trouble. Why don't we phone the station?
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail. 833-YO-DUMMY. Again, 833-YO-DUMMY.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Funny how you can dial someone who's sitting next to you and it takes 2 minutes to ring, but accidentally dialing someone who you don't want to talk to takes negative 0.2 seconds.
Message deleted.
Yeah, no, there's absolute truth to that. I don't know what is going on with the time conundrum that we all live in, but if you accidentally phone somebody, you butt dial somebody, like, it is an instant connection. They pick up before it even rings. Meanwhile, you know, you're in a situation where you have to get in touch with somebody immediately. Your phone won't connect to your car and the Bluetooth. Like, have you ever had that happen with the Bluetooth thing? Like, my car takes a solid 45 seconds to connect. Meanwhile, like, the $1 speaker that I got from Family Dollar that is Bluetooth capable, if I'm in the same zip code as it, my phone will just automatically connect to it.
Have you ever gone through and looked at all of the things that you ever Bluetooth connected to? My list is a mile long, and it's gotten to the point where I don't know what I need to remove. Like, I'm scared to remove something because my Sony headphones that I have don't come up as Sony headphones. It's like WX number, 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 number. So it's like, I don't know what's what. Nothing is ever its actual name.
How often do you, because I feel like this happens to me when I'm, you know, like trying to call somebody, because I don't make a lot of calls, but when I do, I feel like I'll try to hit a number and I'll miss and I'll dial like from your like recent contacts or whatever, and then dial somebody else. And it feels like immediately then you have to like, did that ring on their end? Because you try to hang up and get it to close as fast as you humanly can. And like, do I need to send them? And like, sorry, I didn't really mean to call you.
Nah, don't ever.
Never.
Do that.
Nope.
No.
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 Because
no.
They'll text you if they got it.
Yeah.
Because nobody's going
to
give you.
I'll see a missed call and I'll be like, hey, you try to call me? You're like, nah. I'm like, cool. Didn't want to talk anyhow.
Oh, yeah, no, I never will ever reach out to somebody if it was an accident.
Really? Never?
No, absolutely not. Because, again, I reiterate this, if they wanted to have that conversation or if they're just actually checking up to see if I made that phone call, they'll let me know that they got it on their end. I'm not adding awkwardness. I'm not adding a layer of like, oh, yeah, man, I didn't actually mean to call you. What do you mean? I never even got a phone call from you.
Do you guys answer phone numbers that you don't recognize?
Unless I'm expecting a call.
Yeah.
From that area code. You know, so I have an area code that is not where I live. Right. So I've had my phone for forever. So, and I don't know anybody in the area code where I have my phone number.
Uh-huh.
So anytime I get a phone number from there, zero chance.
No chance.
That I'm answering that. But like if I'm expecting, you know, which is rare to expect a phone call, but like that's the only time I'll answer like a random number I don't know.
Yeah, I'm like if I really knew you and wanted to talk to you, you would know to text me instead of call me.
Oh, or you'd be in my I'm calling.
Or you'd be in my phone already.
No. Yeah. I call all the time. I call people all the time.
It's annoying.
Please leave a message.
No,
after
don't
the
you
tone.
Click the button on me, Jay Farrah. It's not that
Please
annoying.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Is that
Please leave
the same as like the B button?
Yeah, we're sending you a voicemail.
I hate blue cheese. You never know when it's going bad. Gambling with blue cheese, man, it's crazy.
Message deleted.
Blue cheese, Nutlow of all cheeses, the worst. No question.
No.
Awful. Blue cheese sucks.
Blue cheese.
Keep it off my everything.
It's a perfect pairing for buffalo.
No.
I'll tell you this.
Ranch. Ranch is way better on buffalo wings.
When you think you are getting ranch and it is blue cheese, there is no bigger bamboozle in this world.
Yeah, and it's like you give me those blue cheese-filled olives. It's like you take a dump in my martini. Like,
well,
get out of here
you're
with that
expecting,
nonsense.
You're
a beautiful dump. This one that's been like backlogged for a bit.
Ugh.
No, you're expecting to have something rich and creamy and beautiful, and then you get the sour and like chunky.
Yeah, get out of here with that nasty. Yes, mold.
Love it. Give me all the mold. I love stinky cheese, to be completely fair. Like, I love the brie. I love Gouda. I love
Gouda's not stinky.
It's stinkier.
Nah.
When she eats it, it's stinky.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
So this surprised me a little bit when I first saw the headline. And Audrey, I'm going to lean on you here to give me a better understanding if this is the case with you and your friends, okay, considering that even though you're a geriatric millennial, you're still in that group.
You were really just digging in there with that geriatric. You're just throwing that around.
Millennials don't like wine.
I would disagree.
So maybe it's just the ratio.
More beer or something?
Specifically, I mean, it's the beers, spirits, and the seltzers.
Oh, yeah, the seltzers.
Really
well, because
big,
it's
right?
like low calorie, and I feel like everybody my age in the millennial era, like you're still health and wellness conscious enough to where you're trying to go low cal, but I mean, I'm shocked. I mean, most of my
girlfriends
drink
wine. I just
don't
like the way that stuff makes me feel.
Bloated,
you know, like,
bubbly,
yeah, bubbly,
too carbonated.
Too carbonated, too bloated. Yeah. Mahoney, I mean, you're not a wine drinker either, though. Have you ever been into wine?
Not really. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, I went through a rosé phase for a hot minute before seltzers were a thing.
Yeah, I remember you almost got divorced because rosé that one night.
Yeah, my wife did not love me.
She didn't think we were quite as hilarious as we did.
I mean,
after
we are
our fourth bottle of rosé.
We are hilarious on rosé.
Yes, we are.
They didn't sell beer packages. They sold rosé wine packages.
Wine packages.
Oh my God.
I was like, no, I'm buying seven bottles of wine for a three-night cruise. Yeah, that seems about right.
Good deal, yeah. And then if you bought them, you have to drink them.
Got
to
drink them.
Yeah,
got to drink
them. Otherwise.
So, Dave, you said this was beer, seltzer, and what was the
spirits,
other one?
Yeah.
And spirits.
Yeah.
So I also am wondering if it's because of, honestly, the price point.
Maybe. That certainly could have something to do with it. I mean, they say the industry, you know, it's been sounding the alarm bells for a while now because they think that their consumer base is starting to age out And I mean, wine, you know, has been kind of one of the staples really since the dawn of time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, whereas a lot of this other stuff has come along as of late. I mean, like, even like the craft cocktails.
I feel like as you get older, though, that's something. Same thing with, like, I never would drink bourbon or scotch when I was younger. And then, you know, in my mid to late 30s became a much bigger connoisseur of those particular spirits.
Yeah, because here's the thing is that as you get older, getting day drunk on seltzers is not classy. But they have found a way to make getting
daytime
day drunk
wine.
On wine classy. Like, you're going to a vineyard or whatever with your friends. You're having a flight of wine. Like, this is a classy experience.
See, but here's the tea, though, is that wine and champagne is the worst hangover.
Prosecco is the absolute worst.
Wine
hangover.
Is the worst hangover?
Champagne, I can have a glass in an hour.
Well, because,
wrecked.
Yeah, all the sugar. It depends on the wine, too, right? Like, for me... like Cabernet does not give me nearly as bad of a hangover as if I drink a whole bunch of like Sauvignon Blanc or something, right? Like the white wines that have more sweetness to them always bring the hangover.
Yeah.
Every time. And finally, one story here that seems important and maybe as a general rule, don't donate a kidney to your girlfriend's mom.
Oh, this story, Dave.
This guy.
What happened?
So he told his story on TikTok and it went viral because of course it did. He donated his kidney to his girlfriend's mom.
Admirable thing to do.
A month later, she dumped him.
And then what did she do, Dave?
Well, she moved on and said it was, he said, he's a teacher. He said that he donated the organ to her. A month later, they broke up. This went viral and he, you know, had a lot of attention as a result.
You can't blame the
mom. He said, actually, I'm fine. I'm fine emotionally. I think so is she. He's not talking about the mom. He's talking about the ex-girlfriend. I have nothing against her. We're on good terms.
Okay.
We're not friends, but neither do we hate each other.
She got with someone else a month later. And is like supposedly
well,
engaged.
I feel like if you're giving
she married somebody else. Like they
in a month.
Yeah.
In a month.
If you give somebody your organ, you know, you're not doing it to impress somebody. You're doing it to save somebody.
But you're giving that kidney because you love the girl you're
well,
with.
Well, no, you, or yeah, he knows his, the mom and like
the
you're,
mom
you're,
took
you're
his kidney
match.
And now she's taking somebody else's organ. Like,
end this now. Thank you.
Need more Dave and Mahoney? Be sure to follow them on social media at Dave and Mahoney and visit DaveandMahoney.com.
Fabulous.
Where the wind blows wild and free. There's a lovely spot, just the only one that means home sweet home to me. If you follow the old Kit Carson trail till the desert meets the hills, oh, you certainly will agree with me. It's the place of a thousand thrills. Home means Nevada. Sage in the pine, out by the Truckee silvery rills, out where the sun always shines. Here is the land that I love the best, fairer than all I can see. She's deep in the heart of the Golden West. Home means Nevada to me. One more time now. Home means Nevada to me.